and welcome to the latest episode of Betfair's Racing Only Better podcast. And of course, the mood is jovial because this is it. This is the first of our daily shows this week for the Cheltenham Festival. This is the preview show for day one. Of course, you've had our main preview show, but now this is our Racing Only Better daily show where we are going to rattle through giving you essentially the winner of every single race. Let's start enthusiastically and positively. And I am joined by the usual crowd of Tony Calvin, Daryl Carter, and Kevin Blake is back for all 4 days of the festival as well. So quick check in with the mood. Kevin Blake, how is your mood?
I'll tell you what, it's actually exceptional, Vanessa. Like the jump season has been a bit rubbish. And like I feel like I've been in emotional hibernation, but I woke up this morning and I tell you, I've got a fair pep in my step now. I'm actually really buzzing. Yeah, traveling first thing in the morning. And I tell you what, I'll be hopscotching my way down to the airport now. Happy out.
Love it. Love that enthusiasm. And Daryl, I was out riding my horse this morning, having a quiet Sunday morning hack when you guys were bopping and popping on the WhatsApp group in and around the declarations. And I was like, really gets everyone going, doesn't it, when the decks start coming through?
Yeah, I think the BHA public website crashed this morning because there was so much interest in it. But yeah, exciting times. I can't wait to get stuck in.
And Tony, what ground are we going to be starting on? That's what we need to know. We've obviously been banging on about the weather. We've been talking about it plenty. We know it's the microclimate of Cheltenham, but what should I be wearing on day one, more importantly?
It's soft ground. It's going to be soft ground. It's going to be drizzly on Tuesday.
Ooh.
So dress accordingly.
Dress accordingly. Drizzle, interesting, because one of my outfits is rented and I don't want to send it back damp. So that was helpful. Thank you, TC. Kevin Blake chuckles away. Do you know what? I did think this morning, you boys have it so lucky. All you have to do is look at the blooming declarations and make a selection in every race. Meanwhile, here I am panicking about a hat and what undergarments I'm going to wear.
You make it sound like we've got an easy job.
Easy, I tell you. All aboard, sir, do you know? Right.
Not that easy. Kevin has to decide what wig he wears.
Well, that's why
he was so happy. He probably got a new wig delivered for ITV.
You just worry about the rainfall at Ripon now, Tony. I'll be grand.
steady, right. Guys, before we go any further, don't forget there's obviously a free bet on horse racing multiples available to you on Betfair with the sportsbook every day of the festival, as there has been throughout the winter on Saturdays as well. But you must opt in, you must read the T's and C's, and you must do it responsibly, please. And on top of that, we also have Betfair Safer Gambling Tools, and we will be promoting each and every one of those every day of the Cheltenham Festival. And of course, you can stay on top of your game with said safer gambling tools, which are very easy to find and easy to apply as well. Today's tool of the day is deposit limit. To keep things fun and fair, Betfair can help you keep tabs on your spending. And do get involved with those, as I say, easy to find on the Betfair website. Right. Let us crack straight on with the Supreme. And we've got a whole host of races with extra places today, including this, the Supreme. And we've been talking about this all winter long, loads of different favourites. But currently the market looks like this on Sunday afternoon. Mystical Power, 3-1. Firefox, 7-2. Tully Hill, 7-2. Slade Steel going here to avoid Ballyburn, 5-1. Jericho de Repenay out to 7-1. After that, double figure prices. TC, let us kick off with you. Who's going to win the Supreme? You were keen on Jericho in our preview show. Do you remain keen on him at the price of 7-1 currently?
Yeah, with the caveat that we said when we did the preview show in Dublin last Wednesday, the stable form. Obviously, they haven't had a runner since March the 2nd. They took out Crazier Than Daisy at Sandown on Saturday due to vet's advice. Very similar to the under control in the Moor battle, and obviously that horse didn't have to travel very far. So yeah, there's been a bit of a move. We're recording this at 2 o'clock on Sunday. Been a little bit of movement on Jericho, opened up at 8s into 7s, but yeah, I'll take a chance on him on the exchange. He's currently 9.8 there, which is obviously a lot bigger than the fixed odds price. And I was I like the way he's improving. You know, they think that Doncaster run has really kind of like, quote unquote, made a man of him. And I was very surprised to see that the time form ratings only have him with 5 pounds to find with their top rated Slade Steel. So they're obviously taking a very positive view of that Doncaster win. And, you know, he's a horse that's always been underpriced, you know, throughout the season for this race. But I think at 9.8 on the exchange, he's a fair price, win only.
Okay. Daryl Carter, Mystical Power, has ended up here, of course, instead of the further race, and is 3-1. Is that too short for you to get involved with him off the back of what you're saying on the preview show?
Yeah, it's too short for me to get involved with him right now, but I will be looking to try and keep him and Tully Hill on side at about 5-4. I can see a bit of money going to come for Slade Steel with the form line through Ballyburn, so I'm assuming these prices are going to move out of touch. I do really like him. I really, really like him. The progression he showed in three starts, I think, has been monstrous, really. If he comes on for the run at Punchestown, like all of Woody's have this season, and taking another step forward, then, you know, I look at him and I look through this race and I think, who could be in the champion hurdle next year? And he's just got a lovely burst of speed. Whether he's good enough, I'm not sure. But I think him and Tully Hill will be ridden differently. Tully Hill from the front, perhaps. And he's a real grinder. The time figure backs up his performance last time at Doncaster, was thought of as their supreme hope at the start of the season. I'll be looking to keep the pair on side, Mystical Power and Tully Hill.
Okay, keeping two of the William Ellen's horses on side for Daryl. What about you, Kevin, the supreme?
Yeah, like we have a bit of shoehorning to deal with here. And we're going to talk about this a lot, like horses that maybe aren't in the right race because of other things going on. And like Tully Hill is one of those for me. I'd be really worried about his jumping here. He made a terrible hurdling debut back three starts ago at Punchestown, jumped particularly poorly. He's been better since, but again, I watched his most recent run again this morning. And he's had an absolute freebie in the front end, but he still is a fair way from the finished article jumping wise. Silence those phones. I just do worry about him because we know what the Supreme is like. You know, they go over quick, you know, pretty much every time. And if they want to make the run with him, they're going to have to go quick. I would suspect he'd be more likely to sit in behind them. But I just worry about his brain for jumping. And I find myself against him. And I've been very neutral on Mystical Power the whole way. But I think they've got the right race for him. And it's interesting that they've put a hood on. You know, that's a theme with Willie that we've seen in the day one decks. And an awful lot of hoods flying around. I could see why they've done it. I don't know if I would have done it. He has taken a bit of a grip in his first two over hurdles. Not you wouldn't call him the world's most natural jumper, but he's kind of safe and sound rather than slick. And I've been quite taken with the when he comes alive in his races. He really drives into the bridle and has been very strong late on. And I'm coming down on him. And you can find a line through Jigaro there that could give you some encouragement as well with Tully Hill, etc. And it's wide open, and just the way this race tends to go, he'll be ridden quietly. And Mystical Power would be the one I'm going for.
Okay, well, Mystical Power, as you said, is one of a whole host of Willie Mullins horses with first time hoods on Tuesday. And of course, that applies to Gaelic Warrior, who has ended up in the Arkell instead of the Turners, is 3-1, top of the betting, above Founder 59-2. Ilete Tomps 5-1. Quilixios in there, Triumph Hurdle winner at 6-1. Hunter's Yarn has become a bit of the sort of wise guy's horse at 13-2. My mate Mozzie. And then JPR1 at 9-1 is the best the UK have to offer in the Arkell. Daryl, I will start with you because I know you're a lover of novice chases. And this might not be the best article in the world, but at those prices, it's an intriguing one to unpick.
Yeah, I made a strong case for Master Chewy in the Antipost column. Just thought I'd reference that. I wouldn't be going in back in on him again because I think Gaelic Warrior take a world of beating in here. I like the move back to 2 miles. I was watching him earlier in the season at Limerick and I thought, Jesus, he's jumping like an Arkell-like horse. He's so fast from A to B, it's ridiculous. He's put up big numbers on my sheet, like 160 plus numbers. I think the official ratings of a lot of these horses in here are slightly overdone. We found 50 and Ilete Tomps, who we mentioned on the preview, could have travel issues. I think Gaelic Warriors an outstanding bet of 3-1, really. He readily took care of Elite Thompson at Limerick. You got to forgive that run last time, but he went far too fast. That was over 2.5 miles. Like he was second in the Ballymore last year. If this was, you know, over hurdles, you like the English challenger, be 50-1 plus sort of thing. He has improved for fences in my mind. So I'm glad to see Paul Townend on him. Like I think he's a very, very good bet, 3-1.
Beautiful. Okay, Gaelic Warrior 3-1 then for Daryl. Should have just said that the Supreme offering that extra place, four places in the Supreme. There's three extra place races on the first day of the festival, courtesy of Betfair. And the first of them is the Supreme with the four places. TC, back to the Arkle, though, we go. Gaelic Warrior, strong vote of confidence from Daryl Carter. Can you have the same strength of confidence about anything in here?
I'm under no illusions that Gaelic Warrior is the best horses. Will he be able to show it? Obviously, the well-documented problems, jumping right, etc. But obviously, the first-time hood is another unknown. Now, Willie Mullins has got any number of first-time hoods on Tuesday, and he's currently 26 from 152 since 2013. So that is not a bet-inducing stat for Willie for first-time hoods. But obviously, he's going mob-handed with the new headgear on Tuesday. So he's obviously worked with them at home. So we shall see. Hunter John, yep, he's currently about sevens on the exchange, 13-2 with the sports book, if you want an each-way angle. I'm still relatively keen on that, but I went back and had a look at he's chasing. You do suspect he's going to hit one. And if he hits one round here, then it could be pretty much curtains in such a tight race. Master Chewy, I think, is overpriced on the exchange, currently 25, 26 on the exchange. If you forgive his last run at Lingfield, where he got broadsided at the first, if you go back to his Elixir the Nuts second and his defeat of Nickelback, he's probably the overpriced one in the field, around about 25 on the exchange. So Hunter Jean, sevens, Master Chewy, 25s, both exchange plays. I'll take those against the field.
Okay, but Kev, are you in agreement here in the article that Gaelic Warrior is fundamentally the best horse in here, but like TC says, there's just too many worries at that sort of price that he's going to be able to show it, what with the prelims, the way in which he goes through his races, how he jumps, and then on top of that, having to bounce back from the Leopardstown letdown?
Yeah, geez, he's a tough one, isn't he? Like
a lot
earlier
of
in the season,
marks there.
Lots of question marks. And look, at earlier in the season, we did raise the possibility that, you know, God, he might well be suited by coming back to 2 miles. And I would stand over that view, but just the old course at Cheltenham is sort of a different, you know, isn't really where you'd like to see it happen, because of that tendency to jump right, because of the atmosphere being what it will be like, you know.
He's been to the festival the last twice though and finished second.
Yeah, he hasn't.
The prelims shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, it hasn't stopped him. It shouldn't be, but it's just, you know, they've reached for the hood, you know, which is telling. I think, you know, look at, I actually had a look at the numbers for the crack, because there's so many H1s next to Willie's horses. And as Tony says, like, I think his Willie's record in first time hoods in general, it hovers around like 19% strike rate. His overall strike rate is 27%. I had a look at first time hoods at the Cheltenham Festival. He's just small sample, 0 from 8. But then I went a bit deeper again just to confuse things. I had a look at his record with first time hoods in grade ones only. And he's 6 from 26 for a strike rate of 24%. So anyway, look, my view with these things is I'd always be looking at the individual horse. You know, I think that's the, you know, these things are, you know, the influence and impact of headgear is always hyper specific to the individual. So that'll be my focus here. And like, he did get, like, he wasn't bad at Leopardstown. I heard a lot of chat about how he got wound up beforehand. Like, I was standing there looking at him. I didn't think he was terribly bad, but he was very fired up in the race and like went a particularly fast gallop, you know, when you compared it like to like with the big handicap over the same C&D on the day. So, look, it's all adding up to a pretty tricky package for me, and I'm finding it easy enough to sidestep him at the prices. And like, you have a few here. You've him, you found a 50, you've Hunter's Yarn. They've all shown a bit of a tendency to varying degrees to go out to the right. So, you know, it could make for quite spicy view in this. And look,
what's your tip?
Ilete Thoms has been my tip all along, and I think Danny will be well tuned into the tendencies of those in front of him, and I'm hoping he jumps off on the rail there, slips around, saves every yard. And I don't think he's a much better horse than Founder 50, but I think over this course and distance, he can be a couple of lengths better than him, and that might be enough to win.
Lovely. Okay. Like that, Kev, I'm going to stick with you for the Ultima, the handicap third race on day one. And this is another of the extra place races, courtesy of Betfair. Six places in here in the Ultima. So plenty to go at if you like anything at a big price running into a place. Meeting of the Waters, newly recruited by JP, as your 4-1 market leader, has been the case for a little while now. But the Goffer is 5-1 next best. And of course, Kev, that's a horse that you gave a very confident shout to when we last spoke about this race. Has anything happened to change your mind, Kev?
No, sticking with the Goffer. Look at the main piece of evidence here. Like, he was only a 6-year-old, and he ran such a stormer in the race last year. It'll be the greatest ultimate ever run, I'd say. Car Grambler beaten Faster Slow, beaten Monbeg Genius, and the Goffer shaved really well back and forth, made a big move between the fourth last and the third last, and probably paid for it up the run in. Look at, you can see what they've done with him this season. They've been tricking along there, bringing him along steadily, and like had a lovely spin out in a charity race on the flat there last month to sharpen him up for this. And look, I think Jack Kennedy will know exactly what he needs to do. That's right, nice and patiently. He's 2 pounds lower. You'd be pretty shocked and surprised if this turns out to be as good a race as it was last year. So the Goffer, he's up at the front end of the market there, but he's well entitled to be there.
TC, this race looks pretty similar to how we thought it would look, except for the fact that a few horses weren't declared, including Giovinco. Heartbroken, TC, for me with that. Very disappointed not to see him in here. Is this the lineup you were hoping for, and who did you land on?
It's quite surprising that the race didn't fill. It's only got 23 runners for a maximum field of 24. So I'm not sure why Giovinco didn't.
I think it was owner decision, TC, or owner driven.
Well, like I say, it's surprising that the race didn't fill. But obviously, it's a hugely competitive race. It's why we're getting the six places. Fully see the likes of the Goffer are the ones at the top of the market. I just think they've hit their price now in a race this deep. I've taken a chance of a couple of horses in here. The first one's We've All Been Caught. Coming here off on the back of an underwhelming run in the Paddy Power, I think it was in December. And the fact that he's wearing a first-time tongue tie hints at an issue. So I'll probably be playing him win only on the exchange rather than utilising the sixth place of the sports hook. But I think the key to him is getting him fresh. And if he comes back to his reappearance third to Flooring Porter and Broadway Boy off a mark of 134, then I think he could well be attractively weighted here. Well, he is attractively weighted. It's just a matter of whether he comes back to form. And the other one, I'm going with my tried and trusted system of going with horses that haven't been included in recent stable tours. Now, Kevin went down to Henry de Bromhead, and I can't see a Clap de Rear on the old Cheltenham list that Kev did. So, I obviously, this horse has had loads of problems. I think he's only raced six times since he unseated here in the Brown Advisor in 2021 when Monkfish was a bit under par, and I think he had a good winning chance there, but he unseated when going well enough. He's come down to a mark of 146. He's actually 144 in Ireland, but I thought, you know, given his back form, given the fact he shaped well enough when not given a hard ride when second of two finishers in very bad ground at Fairy House last time. I think the race in which Corbett's Cross got brought down or fell. I just think he's a Grand National entry. That might be the target, but I just thought 33-1. The Bromhead yard is not in great form, but I think he's the yard I want to be with this week because he's, you know, they come alive here. And so for me, I'll probably play both win only exchange, given they both got blowout potentials. We've all been caught and Eclectory win only. I'll go on the exchange, but I thought the 14s and the 33s sports with six places is a fair backup if you want the each way option.
Okay, a couple of big prices from TC. Daryl, who would you like to throw into the Ultima mix? Are you playing that extra place each way market?
Yeah, I am. Nice. Trelawn would be the strongest bet of my trio. Kim Bailey's Trelawne, Harry Cobden booked behind Cree Billy last time, and tomorrow's of Paul Nicholls is a tactical affair. I'd ignore that. He's been crying to go back up to 3 miles. I think that novice form from earlier in the season behind Ginny's Destiny and Grey Dawn is rock solid. He's around here. He's going to relish the step up and trip. A mark of 144 is very, 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 very workable for him, considering Cree Billy's running off 140 over 2.5 in a play that he's well fancied. This step up and trip is going to be the making, I think, of Trelawne. I'm happy to see him entered here instead of going to Midlands Day. I thought Monbeg Genius, who's come in from 20-1, which is disappointing, to 12-1, was going to be well overpriced first time cheap pieces. He intends to improve for his first run back after a break. And, you know, that he was miles clear of the Goffer, I thought, last year. So I can't quite understand why he's twice the price. And one at a massive price, Gevry for Gordon Elliott. This horse ran on really strongly in the plate last year over a trip too short. He's £9 higher, but since then, he's finished second in an Irish National and won a Munster National. Pulled up the last twice. You've got to be a bit forgiving there, but he's 50-1 chance. This is his right trip. 146 seems to be sort of within his reach. So, and he won't mind what the ground does. So those would be my three against the field.
Okay, lovely. Plenty of names in the mix then for the Ultima. Let's move on. Big race of day one, of course, will be the Champion Hurdle. And you know the picture by now. You've got Stateman, 4-11, top of the market. Irish Point in here instead of going over the longer trip, 4-1. Iberico Lord supplemented, 12s. Lucia from the same yard, 20s. Not So Sleepy the Veteran, 20s. The Mean Line, 25s. Zarek the Brave for Willie Mullins as well, 25-1. And Colonel Mustard is the outside with JJ on at 50s. That's your full field for a Champion Hurdle. The Without Market is up, TC. Tell us how to play this with Stateman in here, so strong at the top, and rightly so.
Yeah, just a quick plug for my column. I'm on my column every day this week, written column. I'm going to do pace maps, and I'm going to give you all the first-time headgear, so I might as well give you that now. But John Joe's 14 from 92 were first-time cheap pieces in the last race. And in here, Lorna Fowler is 0 from 3 with first-time blinkers. So obviously, I don't play at short prices, very rarely tip under 3-1 and stuff like that. But I generally do think Stateman's more of a fours on chance than the 1.4, 2-5 on the exchange. So, yeah.
Very like rare. Said, if you're a first time listener, because there will be first time listeners to this pod, that's a very rare thing for TC to say.
No, it's like, it's, I often do say it, but I just let those kind of bets go. I mean, you know, if it's 2-5, look, if you're looking at percentage wise, and if you're looking at the race from a mathematical point of view, yeah, I really should be backing it if I think, you know, it should be fours on and it's 2-5. But I just don't bet like that, and I'm a terrible judge of a short price. So take that on board. But everything that Stateman's done suggests he will be beating this field. I personally wouldn't lay. I'll be struggling to lay fours on, but so I think he'll win. It's just a matter of what comes second. We've got the Without Betting. Irish Point is 10-11 favourite. I might just actually lay Irish Point for a place, but I haven't decided yet in the full field. But I think I'm a big fan of Iberico Lord. After his Greatwood win, I said on Wade In and a couple of other podcasts that the bet what we did, not only on just Wade In, but Racing Any Better as well, I thought Iberico Lord might end up being the best UK hurdler, 2 mile hurdler outside of the Constitution Hill. He gets the chance to show it here. Recent rain, soft ground. I'm a bit worried about he might want a bigger field and a stronger pace to go at. But I think it's 7-2 without, he'd probably be my lean in that market. But I won't be going mad in the race.
Daryl, will you be going mad in the Champion Hurdle for anything?
I'd be looking at option C on the sports book, which is without Stateman, without Irish Point. Iberico Lord is 15-8. I think that's very, very fair to beat Lucia, Not So Sleepy, to be on lines there at the Brave and Colonel Mustard. I think that's a very fair price. So I'd be looking to take that. I've just seen that now.
Okay, I love that. I love the surprise in your voice. I'll be looking to take that. I've only just seen it now, but perfect. Just the job for Daryl. What about the mares? What about the mares? Let's move on to the 410 mares hurdle. We're supposed to be keeping these pods snappy, so we'll keep up our pace. Lossy Mouth is currently 8-15 at the top of the market. Love Envoy in here at 12-1 after that. Mary's Rock, 14s. Gallimard So in there at 16s. Basically, I mean, you could go on and on and on here, but Echoes and Rain, of course, as well. Sorry. But essentially, Lossy Mouth, everyone thinks she's kind of the banker of day one, really. Do you concur with that, Daryl? And if you do, then how are you playing this race? Is this another without market?
Yeah, possibly without market. I think she's very, very good. I think she'll win. But Tell Me Something Girl is far too big of a price at 25-1, I think. And it is massive. She's 9-1 in the without market.
I don't understand how she's still this price, given how many people have been tipping her up.
Well, no, it's slightly concerning, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
she was obviously going well in this race a couple of years ago before coming down. I thought the run last time behind Sarah at the Brave, who runs in the Champion Hurdle, was decent, stepping back up in trip. She runs this course well, won't mind what the ground does. I mean, I'd have her well shorter than the likes of Love Envoy and Marie's Rock. Like, I don't know. Look, she's 9-1 without Lossie Mouth and without Ashro Diamond. Like, you could play that each way there. She's 12-1 without Lossie Mouth. There's lots of angles in here. I'd probably take the 9-1 without the top two in the market, to be honest with you. I think she'll be there or thereabouts.
Yeah, okay. I can see that. I mean, like I say, plenty of people have tipped her up. I should just say that Ashro Diamond's in there as the second favourite behind her stablemate. Of course, Lossie Mouth is currently 9-2 with Sportsbook. Ashro Diamond, Patrick Mullins booked for the ride there. TC, is this a race you want to get involved in? Do you have a strong view in here?
Yeah, Tell Me Something Girl is one I've landed on at 25s each way.
Oh, boys in agreement.
It's interesting because, you know, Lossie Mouth can be keen, but so does she want a strong pace to aim at? But obviously on soft ground, over this trip, you know, would a dawdle suit her? Because there's not a lot of guaranteed pace in here. You've got maybe Love Envoy, Fear to Glory, maybe You Wear It Well, but none of them are, you know, certain to actually really kind of like force a good pace. And, you know, the last year's renewal was apparently a very stop-start affair. So it could well be a slowly run race will play against Lossie Mouth because she's so keen, or it could well be that given the stamina doubt, then, you know, that could work in her favour as well. So I don't know how to do it. I mean, obviously, every man, wife and his dog will probably be looking to lay Lossie Mouth in running at some point. But I don't think that angle is particularly attractive. Like I said, once the strategy is well known and well flagged, it becomes redundant. But coming back to Tell Me Something Girl, yeah, I hadn't seen, like I said, just those markets came on just before we came on air, so I haven't had a good look at those. But the 25s each way, Tell Me Something Girl appeal, given the course form, given that good run over a sub 2 miles last time against Zach the Brave. But there's plenty of depth in the race, but I can't believe that 9-1. You're telling me she's 9-1 without the top two in the market?
She is 9-1 without Lossie Mouth, without Ashro Diamond, yeah.
Well, that's just ridiculous.
TC, I love that.
Well, it's ridiculous.
These live reactions to these without markets are absolutely excellent. Let's hope that these continue during the week. Kev, don't go to sleep because we need to bring you back in for the Boodles, another of our extra place races. 6 places in the Boodles. What a little contest this is. People love trying to unpick the Boodles puzzle. Lark in the Morning for Joseph O'Brien is your market leader at 9-2, one of two in here. He has a bigger price horse in Harsh as well. Melantino next, 13-2. Batman Girac in there, 6s. Liari in the light. Liari's 9-1 for Paul Nichols. Went to see him this week. I mean, in that sort of mid-div of the market, there's just so many you can make cases for, Kev. But of course, we know your team, Joseph O'Brien. We know we're not going to get through a day on this show without you tipping up a Joseph O'Brien horse. So surely you're with Lark in the Morning here.
Yeah, definitely. Well, he doesn't have runners every day.
Okay.
He's got there. He's got in off a handy weight. You'd be delighted with the rating he has. As we've talked about him plenty over the recent weeks, you know, he's got a very good education in his runs. He hasn't won over hurdles yet, but you know, things have gone wrong for him pretty much every day, particularly the last twice. And look, he's a potential improver for sure. If you're picking your ground, you'd pick Good to Soft. Don't think he's going to get that. Good to Soft in places might be the very best that could be hoped for, but that might even be a little bit ambitious. But look at him. I'm hoping he'll be fine on it. He looks to have a good solid chance. You know, at the price, there's not been much giveaway. He's been a fav for this for ages. But look, he goes there with a good solid chance. If you wanted to mention a sneakier one, I thought Paul Nolan's horse Palamon was worth a mention. Paul Nolan won the very first renewal of this with Dabaroon, Nina Carberry claiming five, I think, at the time. And you can see what they've been doing here. They've been bringing him along steadily, and was quite eye catching last time behind Nadawi, who's up at the top end of the weights here. He was super impressive. He was eased down, could have won by 15 lengths. But Palamon was picking his way through there into the third, and they've managed to sneak in here off 1-2-1. And if you wanted one at a much bigger price, it'd be him. But Lark in the Morning is the main hope,
the main selection. Daryl Carter, who is your main selection in here? You're not Team Joseph O'Brien, so come on, give us something away from the favourite.
Kev's just stole my preview tip.
Oh,
Palamon.
Oh yeah.
Palamon. Yeah, I've been on him for a while. Yeah, everything Kev's just said. I think he's got a great chance of 1-2-1. Even on his flat rating, you can scope off that mark. And don't think we've seen the best of him yet. I think they've been looking for a handicap.
Right. Two in agreement then. We like that at a big price. Tony, are you going to make it three?
No. This race is a cheat charter. Forget about the potents, and I won't go along with such dishonesty. Typhoon have got Lark in the Morning top rated by a pound from the horse that I like, Latin Verse. Lark in the Morning's 92, and Latin Verse is 33s, and it's I think hopefully Latin Verse will win and be a victory for Honest Campaigning, because the horse actually won by 19 lengths last time in a quick time in bad ground. And the handicapper could have reacted much more harshly than sticking him up £10. So I know Dan was at Ludlow that day, and he was very keen on the fact that the horse finished so strongly on a day where everything else was walking home on bad ground. I think off a mark of 120 after that performance. Obviously, time for him, I think he's still well handicapped, and I think he can do some damage. And 33-1 each way, six places. Is I think it's probably my bet of the day. I'm not going to be having many bets, but Latin Verse, I quite like that. You even go back to his flat form. He's obviously 120 over hurdles. I think Time from at one point had him about 88, 89 on the flat when he was with Rafe.
Flat's only around the corner, lads.
I didn't really mean to say Ralph, so I immediately thought of Hugh Carhill when I said that, but lost in the past. And the other one, I mentioned it on the preview last week when she was trading at around about 200 odd on the exchange. And it's a horse called Lay Loyo, for having a first one for the Twister. Now, this horse obviously is a bit of an uneducated guess, largely because when I asked around about it, I was told that Aintree was the target and not the Boodles. I was told she was going to run here, but they're getting her really revved up for Aintree. But I'm not listening to that kind of gossip. I think a horse, you know, I think this race lends itself to, well, it has done in the past, of an ex-French horse who's got racing and got hurdling experience early. And this horse has certainly done that, because she made her debut in March 2023, and she's actually been running over fences. But Twister's looking to exploit what looks a very favourable handicap mark on one run only. That is a Compagne win last year, where she beat two wide margins subsequent Grade 3 winners. Now, she's done very little since, including over fences, but on that run alone, a mark of 122 could be very, very exploitable at 40s fixed odds with those six places, and she's currently trading at 70 odd on the exchange win only. I'm going to be chucking a few quid at Late Loyo win only, probably on the exchange at those bigger prices. But Latin Verse 33s each way six places looks very good to me.
Okay, yeah, the six places on offer there in the Boodles. Right, last race to discuss on day one, and it is the Maureen Mullins National Hunt Chase for the amateur jockeys. And only right, Daryl, I start with you here, because of course Corbett's Cross is 7-4 at the top of the market. You were so keen on him in our preview show. Embassy Gardens next up in the market. for Willie Mullins at 9-2. Sorry, at 7-4. And Salvador Ziggy in there also got very positive mention, but from the others at 9-2. So intriguing race, bigger prices thereafter. But Daryl, you've got to still be with Corbett's Cross, aren't you?
Yeah, been with him for a long time. Cheltenham Festival Focus followers, the Anti-Post column will be on him at 20-1. Wow. So fingers crossed he does the job. I'll be going in again on the day because the way this race is cut up, 7-4 to me is still good value. He's been settling all season, just being with a view to this race down the line. The hood goes on for the first time. I actually don't mind that at all for him. Hopefully it keep him nice and settled. I think he's the best horse in the race. He travelled all over Embassy Gardens last year when pulling the arms off Mark Walsh. I think Salvador Ziggy's got questions to answer. I can't really have the English lot. I think he's a good bet at 7-4. I'd back him up to 11-10.
Okay, right, interesting. And yeah, I mean, the hood deliveries on Amazon Prime down to Close Sutton. Emmett Mullins obviously trains next door to Willie. Both these two horses have got the hoods on, as so many of Willie's has. I'll go to you next, Kev, here. The hoods are the big theme.
Yeah, look, and you can see why here, because the two of these are running in the wrong race. You know, this race shouldn't exist, and they should both be in the whatever it's called, the Brown Advisory. I'm not joking there. Like, they really should be in that race, and they'd be great additions to it. Corbett's Cross, I just would be worried about him settling, and the fact that he does jump like a snooker table is concerning. A lot of jumping in this race to be done, and Embassy Gardens, the hood, I'd say, could. They'll be really hoping the hood works because, he is gassy now, over shorter. And it just could be not a happy time for Patrick now for the first half of this race if the horse doesn't play ball. So look at that. Look at the two of them are very classy horses. Like I say, they wouldn't be out of place in the Brown Advisory at all. But I just don't think this test is necessarily what they want. And it's just a case of where do they get away with it. And thankfully, we do have a very viable alternative to the two of them. In the absence of Broadway Boy, we have Salvador Ziggy. And look, I think he's very solid. You know, he's acquired a good bit of experience, maybe not so much in terms of number of runs over fences, but when you finish second in a Kerry National, I watched it again this morning, like, you know, he got a real education that day. He was, you know, buried in heavy traffic and look the winner coming down to the last, and just Desert Moor House was that bit better handicapped than him. His jumping in traffic, it was great. Look at, he came to Cheltenham very fresh last season, finished second in the Per Thames final. I know he did have a kind of a concerning run in the American Grand National where he stopped as if he was shot, but there was a lot going on there, you know, cross Atlantic travel, and you know, it just would have been a very different thing for him. Whereas we know he can come to Cheltenham fresh and run a big one. He's jumping solid. He can just follow them around, be a more efficient animal over this extreme test, and hopefully nip the two of them late on. So Salvador Ziggy for me.
And TC, you're in agreement, aren't you?
Yeah, it's just a bit disconcerting. I just found out a couple of weeks ago that Salvador Ziggy actually bled in America. So that's probably why Gordon's backed off him. But then again, Gordon's backed off horses like Galvin. He's won this race in the past. You know, won at Cheltenham in October and come here fresh. So Gordon reckons he's come here deliberately fresh with a horse to give him a National Hunt stroke Grand National kind of like late campaign. And the official ratings, I was quite surprised to see the official ratings having £4 inferior to the ones, the two at the top of the market.
So, superior,
sorry, yeah. Time form see it a little bit differently, but official ratings are official ratings, and I do think that that handicap form is as strong as the first two in the market. So, yeah, he would be my player at 9-2, but the first time, that bleeding and the absence does leave a little doubt in my mind. He's far more attractively priced at 9-2 than the first two in the market. And if you are, we've already covered the first time hood records of Willie. Emmett is 5-21 with okay. A first time hood. Make of that what you will.
Right, time for our naps then, I think. Before we do naps, obviously don't forget that free bet on horse racing multiples every day of the Cheltenham Festival, and also check your carousel for other offers. On top of that, you've got the extra places, 4 places in the Supreme, 6 in the Ultimate, and 6 in the Boodles as well. So plenty of offers out there, but as always, you need to you know, make use of them responsibly, have fun with it, read the T's and C's and opt in where you have to. Daryl?
Yeah.
On that, please.
It was going to be Corbett's cross, but now Gaelic Warriors in the Arkle, I think he's a good bet of 3-1.
God, you're really putting your faith in these rogue operating horses. Corbett's cross and...
you'll have to wear a hood yourself at the races, yeah. Daryl, too. in support.
In support. When you're at home punting, put your hood on. TC, your nap. Did you say it was going to be Latin verse?
Yeah, I suppose the hood's the opposite of a balaclava, isn't it, really? In a punting respect, anyway. Yeah, no matter where you're backing, it's a really light punting day for me. And obviously, if you tip into a without market, those markets can change very dramatically to very little money. So I won't go down the tell me something girl route. Yeah, if you were backing Latinverse 33 six places or bigger Win Only on Exchange, I think he's the better of the day at the odds as we are recording this. So Latinverse in the Boodles, a victory for honest campaigning.
Love honest campaigning.
haven't had many of those in the Boodles over the years.
No.
Go on, Kev. What's your nap, please?
Not one of my stronger days now, Vanessa. And I don't think any of my fancies on the day like are particularly, you know, wrongly priced. But in terms of strength of fancy, at the price, it is the Goffer. I can just see it in my mind's eye, him swinging down the hill and Jack saying, whoa, 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 and hopefully deliver him nice and loud.
Whoa, 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 go, 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 the Goffer. Right, perfect. Boys, thank you very much. Very much looking forward to discussing the week as we go. We've got the daily shows coming for you. There's all the preview content. There's still time to consume that. Go to the Betfair digital platforms, YouTube, Facebook, etc., and you'll find Rachel Blackmore previews, Paul Nichols previews, our full preview, so much on there. And we've got the daily pods, all those offers I've already talked about. What a week it's going to be. Hopefully, we will have kicked off day one in fine style, and we'll be joining you next time for a detailed look at day two. But for now, thank you very much for being with us. Enjoy the week. Have fun. Can't wait for it to kick off.